Not the next item on the agenda, crab license buyback program, item 15. Who's handling that? Travis says.
NOAA, after a long review, has verbally approved the expenditure of about $7 million to restructure the blue crab fishery through a buyback, license buyback program for the crab pot and peeler pot fisheries. We have talked to you for several years about the overcapacity in the pot fisheries and the fact that we have so much excess effort in that fishery to the point where we have about 1,800 or so licenses. The best 200 of those licensees by themselves could catch the, what I would call the quota, the safe amount of crabs that could be removed from that resource, which is a clear indication that we have hundreds of excess licenses. Well, how many we'll end up purchasing through this program, I don't know, but this will go a long way to providing an economic incentive to those people who are ready to exit the fishery. We know through the normal transfer process that we have about between 100 and 150 licenses that are sold annually in this fishery. So there's clearly people who want to get out of the fishery, and with a little bit more economic incentive to do so, they'll voluntarily leave. This is, again, a voluntary program. It's going to be available to everyone who's currently eligible for a crab pot license or a peeler pot license, including the over 500 licenses that you've put on the waiting list. It'll be available to those folks too. So if they're ready to leave rather than sitting there and waiting for the point in time when they'll get their license back, they're ready to go. This will be an opportunity for them. What we're asking you to do today are two things. One, or two, approve the procurement procedures as to how we will go through this process of purchasing the licenses, and also to approve a public hearing process where we will add language to our regulation that makes it clear that if your license is purchased, that license is permanently retired. It goes away. It's not available for sale back to that person in a future year or to anyone else in a future year. We thought it best to put it in the regulation to make sure that future commissions will remember that those licenses are retired and eligibility is lost. The way the procurement procedures would work as we're proposing them is there's $6,724,470 that are available for the program. We want to place emphasis on the purchase of the larger licenses, but even the smallest license will be eligible for the program. 50% of the money will be used to purchase licenses from full-time crabbers, 30% from part-time crabbers, and 20% of the funds will be used to buy licenses on the waiting list. And that's just some simple math that we think it's probably going to cost more to buy.
Percentages again. You said 60%.
50,
30, and 20. More active, bigger and more active licenses are probably going to cost more. Although we'll probably end up buying fewer of those, it's going to take more money. We're going to define a full-timer as somebody who's worked at least 100 days. That's a crab potter. Peeler potter would be 60 days. And so when the applications come in, an individual will have indicated on that application what price he desires to be paid for his license. It'll be totally up to him. We will not assist them in any way. It's a personal decision. Of course, he can talk to others in the industry, and he can go back and look at his records and use those to determine what he thinks he should be paid for his license. But when they come in to us, we will determine whether they were a part-timer, full-timer, or waitlist. And then we will look at the number of pots that license is associated with, and we will look at the number of days that person has worked over a period of time, 04 to 09. And we want to change that bid simply from a dollar figure to a dollar per pot day. that'll be our calculation once it comes in based on data in the mandatory reporting system. So that in general, if there were two individuals, say one had a 500 pot license and one had a 100 pot license, and their dollar bid was the same, the cheaper bid would be the one divided by the 500 pots, not the 100 pots. So that would be the one we would gravitate toward first. And that focuses on the bigger licenses. Of course, if there's 0 days or 1 or 2 days associated with the 500 pot license and several hundred days associated with the 100 pot license, that could literally change the math again. One of the things we want to avoid is having a lot of identical bids so that we have ties and that before we run out of, you know, when we're running out of money, if we have a lot of people with the same bid, then we're going to have to hold a lottery to determine who wins that last chunk of money. But I think by dividing the price by number of pots and number of days work, you're going to greatly diminish the odds of seeing identical bids.
Plus, the bids when they come in will be held in high security.
Absolutely confidential.
Won't be, but a very limited number of individuals, me not one of them, which will have access to the bids as they come in. Basically a lockbox type procedure.
Once the bids come in and that math is done, then the licenses within each category, full-time, part-time, wait list, will be ranked from lowest to highest. And we will purchase the lowest bid first and work our way up until the money in that category is exhausted. If we purchase all the licenses in a particular category and there's still money remaining, we will shift that remaining funds to the next category, the other categories that remain, and do that on a prorated basis on the same percentages that we had done the original.
And Jack, the deadlines will be very strict deadlines.
Have to be very strict.
We're going
to
get no coming to the commission. Say, I hope we have this understanding now. No, come to the commission. I was out of the country. Because to do that really skews the fairness of the process. It really does.
We're proposing to give folks 90 days to get their bids in. They'll be due November 1st. We will, as soon as we get final written approval from NOAA, and assuming you all approve procurement procedures today, we hope to get applications and information out to all crabbers with pot, dealer pot, crab pot, wait list licenses by probably the first week in August. First week in August.
And you use part of that money to do the advertising?
We don't have to advertise anything. We're going to the mail outs. Yes. There was money set aside in the Crab Disaster Fund to pay for mailing costs.
Now, could you break the ties by the first one applying?
We thought about that, but my concern there is I don't want somebody to, in haste, put in a bid just because he thinks he might beat someone else who's going to tie him. We want people to take some time to think about this, what value that license is to them, without any feeling that we're rushing them. And hopefully, through the way we've designed the addition, with the days worked and the number of pots, there a tie will be rare, I think. Now, you know, we're probably going to receive applications for bids that are just don't make sense. And obviously the commission will reserve the right to reject those as unreasonable. But we won't know those until we get all of the applications in and look at the range of values that we see in each of the categories. We have prepared an application which has been provided to you, and we've prepared what we're calling frequently asked questions about the program, what its purpose is, how it's going to work, how their bid's going to be compared to others, the fact that we're not forcing anyone to sell their license, how quickly they'll get payments, in general, how the process works. One point I do want to draw to your attention is question 14. If my bid is accepted, could my payment be subject to the state debt set-off program? We've already run into this problem with the Ghost Pot program. If you owe money to the state, whether for back taxes, child support, failure to make a payment to a state hospital, tuition, you're on a list in Richmond. And when Richmond goes to write you that check for your crab license, if your name is found on the debt set-off list as owing money to the state, they're going to deduct that amount from your payment. So I'm absolutely certain this is going to happen. People are going to get the check. They will have bid amount X, and they're going to get a check for Y. And so we've got this in here to just give them fair warning that can't occur. We don't anticipate ever doing this again. This is a one-time thing. If you don't get your application in by November 1, don't anticipate that there's going to be another round of bids accepted in 2010 or 2011. All of this money is being lumped for a one-time program. Now, if we go through it and there are not sufficient bids to use up the entire $6.7 million, then potentially we could come back with another program.
But don't count on it.
Don't count on it. We could address other CREP licenses at that point if there's money left over. For now, this is focused on CREP pot, dealer pot.
And the reason for that?
The reason is, we've clearly identified overcapacity in those two fisheries. NOAA, in granting the disaster declaration, identified most of the problems with the pilapod fishery. And so we're trying to concentrate part of the $15 million disaster relief program on those two fisheries. We, for instance, have already dedicated or will dedicate nearly $4 million to the ghost pot program to help the crab dredgers. There's going to be other programs to help other crabbers. So we're trying to spread the money out to some degree, but still address, sort of the priorities that we've identified. So we're asking two things: approval of procurement procedures, and then request to hold the public hearing next month on the change in the regulation.
Any questions for Jack? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack, I do have one concern I'd like to talk through with you and the commission here, and that is the issue of the language that you have in the documents regarding eligibility, and how basically in the documents it sets forth that a participant in the program would essentially forfeit their eligibility for the license. And I think the concern I have there is that I think we need to be very careful, deliberate, and accurate with the language we use to describe that, because we want to make sure that people understand that if they participate in the buyback program, they could still get back into the fishery by transfer, subject to whatever regulations are in effect governing transfers at that point in time, that is in the future when they sought to make reapplication. And I understand the technical reason for using the word eligibility, that it gets at the fact that an applicant can't walk in the door and still be eligible for the license that they bought last year. But I would suggest that we address that in the several places that it appears. It appears on page 2 of the draft regulation under item E, where it says any person whose crab pot or feeder pot license is purchased by the commission through the Federal Crab Disaster Relief Program shall be permanently ineligible to purchase that license. It appears another time on the application itself where it says, if my bid is accepted, I understand my eligibility for this license will be permanently revoked. And it appears a third time under frequently asked question number 11, where it says, once your bid has been accepted, your eligibility for that license is permanently lost. And I guess I would suggest that, I'm not prepared to offer a sentence.
Let me see, that license So if it was going to get transferred, it would be another license. So license that he's given up is his license, and it's permanently gone.
Right, but the for example, on page 2 of the draft regulation, it says any person whose crab pot or pedophile pot license is purchased shall be permanently ineligible. And I think we just need to clarify that the person doesn't lose his right to re-enter the fishery through transfer. So, right, exactly. That's what I'm suggesting. I mean, it appears several times, and I don't want, I guess it would be unfortunate if that became a potential deterrent to people participating in the program. So I just would suggest that we address this language in the documents that go out for public hearing and make it very clear that wherever that appears, that maybe we clarify that the license is being permanently retired and that the person could re-enter the fishery via transfer in the future, subject to whatever regulations are in effect at the time that they acquire a license via transfer. I think it's important that we clarify that because...
And that is the intent of the language that's here, and it may be confusing to some, but we can certainly wordsmith that.
Right.
It's the license that you're selling, that you're offering a bid on.
Okay.
That one's gone. If you want to, 2 years down the road, get back in, and you know your neighbor is selling a 500-pot license, and the rules still allow for
that, that license has never been turned in. So
that's right.
You could buy it or
that's right.
Transfer it or whatever.
We can make those changes.
Mr. Robbins?
One follow-up. The other question I had, Jack, I understand the basis of pot days for basically grading the bids or putting the bids into a currency. But what would be the basis for the wait-listed licenses? In other words, those, by definition, have 0 days.
That's right.
Participation.
And so the math there is a little simpler, and it's just number of pots. And of course, they're only competing in the pool that is waitlisted. They're not competing against full-timers or part-timers. So if there's a waitlisted 500-pot license, that's going to be more valuable to us than a 100-pot license. But again, the bids that come in will be divided by those numbers to determine which is the best deal for us.
Further questions? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This does, I think, present the commission and the Commonwealth generally with a really historic opportunity to utilize federal funds to try to rationalize the capacity in the crab fishery and bring it in line with the potential biological yield. And so I think it really is a remarkable opportunity. There's obviously been a tremendous amount of work done by the administration and the congressional delegation of Virginia as well as by Maryland to make this a reality. But I think this is a remarkable opportunity for the state. And I would support staff's request that we advertise a public hearing next month and with the modifications to the language clarifying the eligibility issues.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Now we need a motion on the acceptance of the procurement document. Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the procurement procedures with the modifications discussed during the deliberation.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins. Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Jack.